This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Sierra Doctor and Randy Conan. We start things off with Harvest Hotline, sponsored by the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Near Grafton, North Dakota, Barry Kingsbury says rain early this week is solid wheat harvest, but estimates he's about half done at his farm.
Most people, and us included, got going on wheat harvest last week, earlier to midweek. End of the week, had a few good three solid days of combining wheat. Then Monday, we were fortunate enough to get 6/10 of rain right at our farm and most of the area to the north. Right in our area, I think we're around half done. So I suppose there might be a little more than half done to the south and, you know, a little less than half done north of us.
What's come off the field so far, Kingsbury says he's pleased.
Pleasantly surprised with the lack of rain we had this year and the growing season, as hot as it was at the beginning, we along with everyone, didn't have a lot of hopes for a good or even a above average wheat crop. I know there are some lower yield than probably what was expected, but I think the way I'm hearing it and for what we've seen, it's certainly there are more acres in our area, more than what we expected.
Ashley, North Dakota farmer Tony Schneider started barley harvest yesterday.
We just wanted to get on out and get started on things, and it looks really good. I have to say, we kind of had a late start with a winter that wouldn't give up, and then we proceeded from winter into hot and dry the last part of May and the first part of June, and then the latter part of June it started raining, and those are some million-dollar rains. They came very beautifully, nice, gentle rains, no severe weather, and we've been kind of getting regular rains ever since, so... the barley, the quality looks good. It looks good plump. We've got some lodging issues going on in some of our barley fields.
Schneider is a little worried the barley might have sprout damage.
The wheat around here has been kind of, a lot of it's been pre-harvest burn down, but we've been dealing with a lot of foggy, wet, dewy mornings, and that's been kind of hindering harvesting. And I'm beginning to become concerned about the sprout damage on the barley. It's beginning to become a concern, but from what I've seen, what we harvested yesterday a little bit, I'm not seeing any sprout damage as of now. And the fall crops, the corn and beans, they look super good. If Mother Nature kind of finds it in her heart to give us a little longer growing season, I think we'll have a very good fall crop.
With harvest underway, NDSU Extension Farm and Ranch Safety Coordinator Angie Johnson is reminding everyone on the road to use caution as traffic picks up.
Whether you are an operator driving large farm equipment or you are a general motorist trying to get to work or school, just a reminder, we need to share that road and be defensive drivers. You're going to see now heavy, heavy traffic presence, especially in the early morning hours, as we really got to be mindful during those high traffic times in terms of when should we be transporting agricultural equipment and having a good idea in terms of when those high volume traffic times are so we can plan our routes ahead and take the safest route possible.
Lights can play an important role in keeping the roads safe.
For all of our equipment operators out there, make sure you're using your hazard lights. Make sure your turn signals are being used properly and that they work. Oftentimes, we don't realize our equipment lights don't work until we're put in that situation where we really need them to work. And also watching for overhead power lines as well. Our equipment is so tall and large that it doesn't take much to snag that low-lying power line. And so just be prepared, have a route in place, and take time to slow down both for equipment operators and general motorists.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services.
There were some small changes to the drought monitor, but nearly all of Minnesota remains abnormally dry or in some sort of drought. The most severe conditions are in southeastern Minnesota. Just over half of North Dakota is dealing with dry conditions, with severe drought reported along the Canadian border. South Dakota's drought is confined to the far eastern portion of the state.
According to the latest NDSU crop and pest report, late planted sunflower should be scouted for red sunflower seed weevils. This past week, red sunflower seed weevils were found in nearly 20% of the field scouted. The highest counts were in central North Dakota.
Markets are keeping a close eye on boots on the ground reports this week. Walsh Trading Commodity Hedge Division Vice President John Weir says weather could still have an impact on yields moving forward.
Keep your eye on some of these reports, like I said, Pro Farmer and some of the other on-the-ground reports coming out now as we head into the tail end of August, early September. And some of these crops could still be affected by lack of moisture. So if we sustain 75 and 80-degree temperatures, we'll be okay. But if we get another blast of heat and no rain, we could see things change a little bit.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai have announced the appointment of 130 private sector representatives to serve on seven agricultural trade advisory committees. The Agricultural Policy Advisory Committee includes Bill Gordon from Worthington, Minnesota, and Randy Spronk of Edgerton, Minnesota. Gordon represents the American Soybean Association, and Spronk is serving on behalf of the National Pork Producers Council. Neil Fisher from the North Dakota Wheat Commission and Gary Wordish from Minnesota Farmers Union are on the advisory committee dealing with grains, feed, oil seeds, and more. Kevin Price, who is with American Crystal Sugar Company, is a member of the Sweeteners Advisory Committee. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. USDA announced $72.9 million has been awarded to 55 states and territories through the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. Of that, over $1.3 million of funding went to projects in Minnesota and over $3.3 million to North Dakota. USDA Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says this marks over $1 billion invested into the specialty crops industry.
The Northland Potato Growers Association holding their annual field day today. NDSU plant pathologist Julie Pasche says soil-borne diseases are very difficult to deal with.
You know, you plant a crop, you can't see what's going on, very hard to control. A lot of those pathogens stay in the soil, sometimes inevitably, a lot of them inevitably. They're very difficult to do and very challenging, but also extremely important for our growers. At Inkster, we do our foliar disease research up there, early blight mainly, some black dot, and occasionally some brown spot research.
Following the Hoverson Farm stop this morning, researchers and Northland Potato Growers board members gathered to talk about future research projects.
We're asking for input on what they see. I mean, really, that's the most important thing for us. If we're not helping the growers in the end, then, that's our mission, right? And we hope that we're targeting the things that are important to them. We hope that we're going about it in a way that we can provide answers that actually can be implemented on a commercial or seed scale. And really, that's the goal.
The potato crop is coming along quite well across the northern plains. Extension potato agronomist Andy Robinson says dry weather is having an impact on the non-irrigated potato crop.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Yeah, in the Red River Valley where we have non-irrigated potatoes, certainly they're dry, and there's no question it's been dry. So I wouldn't expect big yields out of those fields this year by any means. But the irrigated acres tend to be looking pretty good.
The dry weather has lessened foliar diseases.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah, that's the beautiful thing of dry weather is our foliar disease pressure is certainly down. But on the flip side, our soil-borne pathogens tend to take a little bit more hold when the plants are stressed. So seeing a little bit more verticillium, a little bit more black dot probably than you normally would. It's just what happens. You know, weather influences diseases a lot. There's no question.
Potato wart is a devastating disease that's been identified at Prince Edward Island and since closely monitored. National Potato Council Chief Executive Officer Cam Quarles says with potato wart making headlines, it's important to know how the U.S. is tracking the disease and keeping it from entering the U.S. supply.
Both the Canadians as well as the U.S. have agreed that seed potatoes from Prince Edward Island are not going to move to other provinces in Canada as well as into the U.S. And then in addition to that, APHIS and the Canadians, we assume, for their own domestic market are going to need to address things like the movement of bulk potatoes. What do you do with the waste product when you're moving big shipments of potatoes? How are you dealing with equipment that may be in farms that may be operating on farms that are infected? You don't want the equipment to bring disease, to move disease around the island.
And potato growers at PEI have programs in place to keep the disease from spreading.
Currently, Prince Edward Island is operating under a plan with their federal government. It's called a long-term management plan, where they are taking steps to try to minimize the movement of the disease around Prince Edward Island. The Canadians have said they're going to update that long-term management plan, and much of that updating will be to address what APHIS identified in that report. So there are standards in place. They need to be modernized. They need to be enhanced in order to deal with the disease threat that is currently out there and may well be out there in the future.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will participate in an agricultural roundtable event in the Twin Cities on Monday. Vilsack will be joined by Minnesota Senators Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, Representative Betty McCollum, and Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson. Vilsack is expected to announce a new investments in Minnesota to build and improve rural infrastructure. After the meeting, Vilsack plans to visit the Minnesota State Fair. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Small grains are rapidly coming off the fields this time of year. AgVise Laboratories soil scientist John Brecker says to take a minute to get some data before moving on to fall tillage.
A good time to contact your crop consultant, agronomist, or if you happen to take your own soil samples, and get out there and get those fields soil tested right behind the combine. First of all, because it allows us to actually get those samples collected before any fall tillage happens. And that's really important for any of our immobile nutrients like phosphorus and potassium. Getting a nice consistent 0 to 6 inch depth is critical for them. And if you ever try to sample after a chisel plow has gone through, it gets to be a little bit rough, and that's kind of one of the times where we start to get some variability in our soil test results from year to year.
Variable moisture throughout the growing season could impact input decisions for next year.
Some of the early nitrogen numbers coming back after wheat are above average, the low end kind of in the 40-pound range, but been seeing some values up in the 60s, 80s, and even some above 100 pounds of nitrogen left over. It's variable this year, and I think as we all looked at the rainfall reports throughout the past few months, one field might have gotten a half inch or 2 inches more than the field just 2 miles down the road, and that variability in rainfall is going to be not only big for wheat yields, but also with the amount of residual nitrate left over that we're going to use for next year's nitrogen recommendations.
Looking at markets before we leave you, Minneapolis September wheat down 9.5 at 775. December down 4.5 at 798.75. Chicago wheat down 8.5 at 604. And Kansas City 3.25 lower at 751.75. September corn down 2.75 at 473.5. December corn down a penny at 489. And soybeans, September contracts 3.75 higher at 1363.25. November 9.5 higher at 1370. And live cattle, August $1.60 higher at $179.65. October live cattle $2.02 higher at $180.70. Feeder cattle $2.30 higher at $250.87. And October lean hogs $1.40 higher at $79.92. This is the Red River Farm Network.